introduce myself and what I'm about to do. I'm from Singapore, as some of you can tell from my accent, so I'm not Australian. Just came to Australia from Singapore about 3 months ago. I'm married to June, and we have two kids, Matthias, who's 2.5, and Megan, who's almost 1 year old. Now, I'm just going to share about how God's hand was upon me and how I landed up in SMBC. Right, when my wife first met me, I've only got one wife. When my wife first met me, she told me, I think we met in 2004, and at the time we were still pretty young. And she said that, you know, my first impression of you was that you were very serious. And I think many of my friends would tell me that. I tried to lighten up a bit since then. But I was a very serious person because I think very young, since I was very young as a Christian, very early on in my Christian walk, I started to make this resolution. And that is that I should only read Christian books and only listen to Christian music. Right? So if you ask me about music in the 90s, I know nothing about it. I only know the various Christian songs and Christian books that were available. In fact, at one point, I thought that it was a sin to read or listen to anything else. Right? As a result, I think this very early influence caused me to really think deep about what it means to follow God wholeheartedly. So if you ask me who are my... I had no pop song idols, but I had heroes of faith. And these were people, men of faith, whom I read about or I read their books. So some of them were people like Charles Spurgeon, George Whitfield, John Calvin, Henry Martin, just a few of them. I think it was when I was about 16, one of the youth leaders pointed out to me, "Hey, SK, why are you reading books written by dead people or about dead people?" Right, that kind of woke me up, and so I started reading some books by living people as well. Right, but thank God, due to this early influence, I think I developed a deeper understanding of Christianity, of Jesus, but on the other hand, I also developed a rather flawed and maybe romantic view of Christian ministry as well. So I thought, if Charles Spurgeon, do you know that after he was saved, he started preaching within a year, and at the age of 17, he preached his first sermon. And by the time he was 20, he was pastoring the largest Baptist church in London at the time. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if by the age of 20, I'll be pastoring my own church? Well, reality hits me very fast. I realized very early on that I'm no Spurgeon. I have no oratory gift that he had. But I did something very realistic. I started serving my local church. I did ushering. I did the... In the past, we didn't have overhead slides like this. Do you remember in the past, those who are in church for a bit longer, we had OHP. So I had to do those OHP slides. Change as the next slide, the song. Right, so this is what I started doing, and that was in the 90s. By the time I was 17, I wasn't leading a large church like Spurgeon, but God did put me in charge of a small youth Bible study group. And due to a shift in my theological convictions, I joined our church when I was about 27. And I thought at that time, now that I'm joining a new church, I'll just sit back and relax, soak in the teaching, and maybe later on, a few years down the road, I'll start serving. But God had other plans for me. Within half a year, I joined a newcomers group in the church. Within half a year, the pastor was leading the group, and he told me, "I have to move on now and lead another group. Can you take over?" So I was thinking, I'm in this church for less than half a year. Well, I started attending the church 4 years ago, but I only became committed for less than half a year. And you're asking me to lead this group? So it was a bit fearful, and I discussed a bit with him and with God as well. So I prayed to God. And I guess at that time, because the church was growing very fast, they didn't have a choice, and I was put in a leadership position. Right, so I ended up leading this same small group for almost 8 years until end of last year. Along the way, God also showed me other needs in the church. So I started to take up the books ministry. So we had a book table, and someone who was leading the ministry left and had to take over the helm. And right now, I think we have about 500 over titles. So the book ministry grew too big. We had to form a team, and I handed the ministry over to the team last year. I also got involved in training a group of small group leaders with one of the pastors. So these were things that God kind of brought along the way that I wasn't really looking out for. But by then, after taking up all these ministries, along the way, I also did something very important. I got married. Right? So at the time, I also left my hectic engineering job, which took away about 70 hours a week. Right, so you calculate how many days I spent at work. Can't imagine. But I was on call 24-7. And this job change partially was because of the ministry needs. So I had to spend a few nights. Usually at work, I had to spend a few nights. And I can be called at any time. So I changed my job. I joined the Boys Brigade as a program staff. Right, and that kind of helped me to spend a bit more time on my family as well as ministry. But then the next step came, which was around early 2010. Jun told me that I did the pregnancy test and I'm pregnant. All right, so we knew that we were expecting our first child sometime in 2010. In fact, July 2010, and that would mean that I probably would have to give up some of my ministry commitments. At least for a while, I have to do that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be very loving to June for her to take care of the kids as I serve in church in the evening. You see, I believe that God's primary ministry for us is actually in our family, towards our wife and our kids as men. So that's how we take the lead as God's leaders in the household. So it was just then, as I was about to tell this pastor that I was serving with, that I'd like to drop this ministry and that ministry. He came to me and spoke to me about joining the church staff as a ministry apprentice. So they have something similar. In fact, it's identical name with Grace Point, which is Ministry Apprenticeship Program. So he spoke to me. And after speaking to June and to other pastors for a while, I decided to join the church as an apprentice for about 2 years. And so that was my last 2.5 years before I came to SMBC. You see, in the end, I gave up my previous job in order to work in church because of my changing family situations. But I don't think that it's necessary for everyone. In fact, there are benefits in working outside of church as well. So, for example, I remember that as an engineer, I got to come into contact with workers. So in Singapore, we have workers from Thailand, Myanmar, the Philippines, China, and Malaysia, and many other countries. So I actually had a chance to get involved with their lives and along the way also to share with them about the gospel. So if you are working outside, there could be opportunities for you to do mission as well. So it's not necessary that we must join Bible College or that we must join the church as a staff. But I think it's how the circumstances at that time led me to see that this could be the most logical step to take. And through prayer and through consultation with others, I took that step. Let me just share some lessons I learned from my personal journey. I think the first is really to have the right expectations. Right? I was no Spurgeon, so I have to know my limits and to know as well the limits according to the situation that you have in your family. So one important thing that I learned from this was never to sacrifice family for ministry. Because God has called us first to serve our family, and that is the first place that we need to serve him in. And second was to listen to the counsel of pastors and others. If you're not serving effectively in one area, it doesn't mean that you're useless. God will have some other area that we can serve him in. And thirdly, it was to be faithful in the small things of God. Right? So in our workplaces, to our community groups, and to the various church ministries, I think we have to just see the needs that are there and keep meeting those needs. So instead of grumbling, why is it that nobody is seeing that need and doing it? Why not be the first person to go and do it? And that could be the area of in which God is calling us to serve him. So in the end, God may lead some of us here to serve him as a full-time paid church worker, but some of us may be more effective as a witness for Jesus outside in our workplaces. And some of us may see that maybe there's a need in the church that I can serve in, but I don't want to do it full-time. So we call it bivocational ministry. Nonetheless, I think the Bible shows us very clearly that each one of us here are to serve God full-time wherever he's placed us. Because he told us in Romans chapter 12 that we are called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice in view of God's mercy towards us. And this is the true and proper worship that God desires from us. Now, before Andrew comes up to share with us from God's word, let me read to us from the passage that he's going to speak from. And if you have your Bible, could you please take out your Bibles? And I'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. Allow me to read. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.